إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, I'd like to continue in our third session dealing with the book Ta'zeem As-Salah by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And as we have mentioned previously, the topic of this book, Ta'zeem As-Salah, it is attaching importance to the prayer, the salah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated in the deen of Islam. Ya'ni, recognizing or acknowledging the magnificence of salah and the lofty status or station of salah in the life of a Muslim. Ya'ni ta'zeem, meaning to exalt, to extol, to glorify. Ya'ni this act of worship that belongs to the one who deserves to be exalted. That is Allah al-Azim. Ta'zeem as-salah, it means to exalt or to extol, to recognize the importance of this act of worship, which is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Azim. Last week, we took the second chapter of this book, and we dealt with a number of topics, yani which were a continuation of what we started in the first week, and which we will continue today, that is, all of them pointing to the greatness of salah, the importance of salah, the magnificence of salah, and its high status in the life of a Muslim. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we'd like to quickly review and is a study guide from last week, study guide number 2, the 7 questions that we have placed as a guide to help us to remember some of the topics and to make sure that we have understood what we had covered. So I hope that we do make some effort to address these questions in an attempt to recognize for yourself what you have retained and what you have understood correctly from what we covered, from week to week. The first question mentioned one of the most devastating calamities that had befallen the Muslim Ummah in its history. Naam, Adam. Wafat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the calamity, the musibah of the death, of the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was, alaykum salam, the example, who was and is the example for this Ummah, the Imam, the guide to everything that is good, to Jannah, and to every type of virtue. And his loss, his death, indeed, was a tremendous, devastating calamity upon the Ummah of Islam. Question number 2, describe the final contact between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, as narrated by Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, in Bukhari and Muslim. Naam, Abdullah.
الذي توفي فيه حتى إذا كان يوم الاثنين وهم صفوف في الصلاة فكشف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ستر الحجرة ينظر إلينا وهو قائم كأن وجهه
ورقة مصحف.
ثم تبسم يضحك. فهملنا أن تفتتنا من الفرح برؤية النبي
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فنقص أبو بكر إلى عقبيه
على عقبيه
ليصل الصف، وظن أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خارج إلى الصلاة، فأشار إلينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أتموا صلاتكم وأقصى الستر، فتوفي من يومين.
ما شاء الله، جزاك الله خير. جزاك الله خير، أحسنت يا عبد الله. Abdullah has memorized this event. He memorized the hadith of Anas, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And it is worthy of memorization. It is worthy of memorization. It's something for us to remember, to reflect upon, and to take lessons from. And in this narration of Anas, as the brother has recited to us from his memory, the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was yani leading the people in prayer during the sickness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from which he died. And when it came, yani the day of Monday, yani إذا كان يوم الاثنين, when it was the day of Monday, and the Muslims, they were lined up in sufuf, yani in salat, they were lined up, yani for the prayer, they were praying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed the curtain, yani kashafa al-satr, satr al-hujra, yani he removed or opened up the curtain of his room where he lived at. And he looked at the Muslims. He said, Anas said, he was looking at us. And he was standing. And he said, he was, yani his face was like, yani a page or a paper from the Mus'haf. Yani it was beautiful and bright and beaming. And he said, yani Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, yani tabassama, he smiled. Yadhaqu, laughing. Yani with joy at the pleasure of seeing his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in in salat. At this time Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to step back, to move back on his heels. Yani naqasa ala aqibayhi. He moved back, yani to join the line. Yani to make room for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the thinking that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to come out for the prayer. However, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, he said, فَأَشَارَ إِلَيْنَا النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَ أَتِمُّ صُفُوفَكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signaled to them to complete your prayers, complete the prayers, meaning that he wasn't coming out. فَأَرْخَى السِّتْرَ. Then he let down the curtain. فَتُوُفِّيَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ. And he died in that very same day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, it is indeed an event that we should reflect upon and take a lesson from, especially the lesson related to the joy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at seeing the Muslims gather together in congregation performing the salah in the masjid. The third question mentioned the final statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and its significance. Naam, Ibrahim. One of the narrations from Salama, naam.
As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum.
Naam. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Meaning?
The prayer and watch your right hand.
Naam. The prayer. Yani guard the prayer. Give care to the prayer. Attach importance to the prayer. And that which your right hands possess. Those who are under your custody, under your care, under your authority. Yani those who are your property amongst the human beings. And there were other narrations also. Naam, the narration of Ali radiallahu anhu. Naam. Akhiru. Jayid. Naam. Hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, narrated by Imam Ahmed, with an isnad that is confirmed. Naam, that akhir kalam Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was as-salat. Ittaqullah fima malakat أيمانكم. يعني the salah, the salah. And observe taqwa of Allah. يعني be careful of that which your right hands possess. Be careful. Don't violate the law of Allah. Don't transgress or oppress someone that Allah has placed under your authority. And even though this is in reference to the captives of war or slaves, but actually, a parent should be careful of their children. And a person who is in charge of other people, by any means, whether in business or in government, should be careful of the people under their care. Naam. Any other narration? The narration of Ali Umm Salama, the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, which is similar to the narration of Umm Salama. Naam. As-salah. Without that, Ittaqullah is in the narration of Ali. Naam. As-salah. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Naam. All these narrations are similar. Yani the first of them, the narration of Ali radiallahu anhu, it is yani probably the more yani comprehensive of them. Yani or in meaning. Yani greater in meaning. The fourth question, mention a great event in the history, Islamic history, which points to the exalted status and rank of Salat. A great event in the Islamic history. Naam. Somebody who didn't answer. Nobody remembers what great event this is that points to the Naam, Musa. Naam, the ascension of the Prophet ﷺ to above the seven heavens. And how is this emphasized or point to the significance or importance of Salat? Naam. Naam, that Allah ascended, took the Prophet ﷺ up to above the seven heavens to command him with Salat and to make it obligatory upon him. And this command and its obligation was heard by the Prophet ﷺ from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bila wasita, without any intermediary. Whereas all other obligatory duties and acts of worship and good things that Allah has legislated for the people came down by the angel Jibreel to the Prophet ﷺ and was made clear to him and revealed to him on earth. So the salah, it has been distinguished and singled out from every other act of worship and every other obligatory duty, in that it was made obligatory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly speaking to the Prophet ﷺ without any intermediary from above the seven heavens. Question number 5, mention 3 benefits received on Yawm Qiyamah by the one who carefully guards the obligation of Salah. Naam, Abdul Rashid.
Naam, Musnad, Imam Ahmed, يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حاسب عليها كانت له نورا وبرهانا ونجاة يوم القيامة.
Naam, meaning?
Whoever guards عليها يعني بالصلاة.
Naam.
It will be for him on Yawm Qiyamah نورا, like light.
A light.
Proof or evidence, najatan, savior.
Naam.
Or help. Yawm Qiyamah, yani on Yawm Qiyamah.
Naam, the hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed, in which it was mentioned to the Prophet ﷺ the salah, and he said, whoever, من حافظ عليها, whoever guards, protects and preserves the salah, then on Yawm Qiyamah it would be for him a light, a nur, and a burhan, a proof or evidence, yani on his behalf, and a najat, yani a means of being saved, safe and secure from the punishment on Yawm Qiyamah. And then he said, whoever doesn't guard it, it will not be for them a light, nor will it be for them a proof, nor will it be for them a means of safety. And on Yawm Qiyamah he will be resurrected with who? Fir'aun? Huh? Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman, and Ubay ibn Khalaf. Wa la'natullah alayhim, the leaders of Kufr. Naam. Number 6, memorize one of the hadith which clearly points to the kufr, disbelief of the one who willingly abandons salat. Who willingly abandons salat. Naam. Naam, Ahmed. Naam, meaning? Naam, the covenant that is between us and them is salat. Whoever abandons it has committed kufr, has fallen into kufr. Another, anybody else remember a different hadith? Naam.
An Jabir
ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu.
An Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu.
Naam, meaning?
between a man and shirk polytheism and kufr disbelief is leaving the salah.
Naam, that which is in between a man, separates a man from shirk and kufr, is the abandonment of salah. Yani the person who abandons salah, khalas, there's nothing to separate them from shirk and kufr. Does anybody remember another hadith? طيب يكفي, it's sufficient. طيب. And after this, yani for the sake of time, naam. Question number 7, finally, discuss the statement of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, which shows the necessity of performing salah in the masjid. The statement of Abdul ibn Mas'ud which shows the necessity of salah in the masjid. Naam, Abdullah. Huh? As you like. You want to give us the meaning of it, or you want to, yani, just give us the significance of it, or if you want to recite the hadith, it's as you like. Yani, discuss the hadith. Tafadhal, save time. Naam. No.
Let him guard upon these or protect these salawat whatsoever they are called.
Naam. This is the first part of the hadith. Whoever would be pleased to meet Allah, yani ghadan, meaning yawm al-qiyamah, as a Muslim, then they must guard and protect and preserve these prayers from where they are called to. Yani from the masjid. Naam. That's the first part of the hadith, which proves the importance of the prayers in the masjid. Guard these prayers. Yani must guard and protect these prayers, performing them in the place where the adhan is being called from. Naam.
So, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunan al-huda, meaning the sunnah of guidance.
Naam.
So verily they are from the sunnah of guidance, meaning praying in the masjid.
Naam.
And if you pray in your homes as the backwards one who prays in his home, then you would have abandoned the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And if you abandon?
And if you abandon the sunnah of your Prophet, then you would have gone astray.
Straight. Naam. This is also very important, yani, part of the hadith in which the Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that indeed Allah has, yani, legislated for your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the sunan of huda, sunan al-huda, the sunan of huda. Yani the ways of guidance, yani the sunnah practices, ways of guidance. And these prayers in the masjid are part of that, yani those ways of guidance, sunan al-huda. So whoever prays, if you all were to pray in your homes, like this one, Bakul Mutakhallaf, prays in his home, then yani you would have abandoned the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever abandons the sunnah of your Prophet, he has indeed gone astray. Naam.
Purifies himself well and makes his way to the masajid from these masajids.
Naam.
Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him with every step a hasana.
Naam.
And will raise him with it a daraja, meaning a degree, and remove from him a sayyi'a, an evil deed.
Naam. And here, yani also another indication in this statement of Abdul ibn Mas'ud of the importance of the prayer, that there is no man who purifies himself and does it well, yani purification for prayer, and then intentionally goes forward to one of the masjids from amongst the masjids for the performance of prayer, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would record for him a good deed for every step that he takes, and Allah would also raise him up one degree for every step that he takes and remove from him one of his sins for every step that he takes. Naam.
And indeed I have seen us, meaning the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we did not abandon it.
Naam.
Praying in the masjid.
رَأَيْتُنَا وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا
وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا.
No one of us had abandoned or remained behind from the prayers in the masjid.
أي عن الصلاة في المسجد.
Naam.
Meaning from salah in the masjid.
Uh-huh.
A hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known.
Naam. So here, Abdul Mas'ud is saying that I witnessed this from amongst us, the companions of the Prophet, that nobody remained behind from the prayer in the masjid except a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known. And finally,
رجل يؤتى به يهادى بين الرجلين حتى يقام في الصف. Indeed, there would be a man who would be brought between the shoulders of two men until he was made to stand in the
mosque. Naam. That indeed a man would be brought to the prayer, to the masjid, for the prayer in the masjid, being carried between two people until they placed him in the line. Allahu musta'an. Inshallah, we will see this statement from Abdul ibn Mas'ud again today, so we will summarize it as we have already mentioned it now. طيب, chapter 3 is Makanatu Salah. Makanatu Salah, the status or the station, the exalted rank, the exalted place of Salah, in Islam. And the Shaykh, he begins, Allah Yahfadhu, he begins by mentioning the statements about this Salah, statements, a number of statements, numerous statements that point to the exalted status, the lofty rank, position of Salah in Islam. He says that indeed from amongst the greatest of the obligatory duties which Allah has made obligatory upon us, upon His servants, and from the most important of the fara'id, things that Allah has made compulsory upon us, is the Salah. And it is imaduddin, the support of this deen that holds it up. And it is akidu arkanihi, by the shahadatain. And it is the most confirmed of all of the pillars of Islam after the shahadatain. Wa hiya sallah bain al-abdi wa rabbihi. And it is the sillah, the sila, the connecting, the connection between the worshipper and his Rabb. وَهِيَ أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And it is the first thing that the worshipper will be called to account for in يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And if it is correct and right and whole, then the rest of his deeds will be likewise. And if it is corrupted or spoiled, then the rest of his deeds will also be likewise corrupted or spoiled. The salah is the determining factor. After this he said, وَهِيَ الْفَارِقُ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمُ الْكَافِرُ. And it is the thing that separates or distinguishes the Muslim from the disbeliever. So indeed, establishing the Salat is Iman. And abandoning or losing, neglecting the Salat is Kufr and Tughyan, transgression. فَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. This is a statement that's reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that there is no deen. لَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. There is no deen for the one who doesn't perform salah. وَلَا حَظَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ تَرَقَ الصَّلَاةِ. And this is a statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه. لَا حَظَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ تَرَقَ الصَّلَاةِ. There is no portion of Islam for the person who has abandoned the salah. They have no portion of Islam whatsoever. مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورًا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَوَجْهِهِ وَقَبْرِهِ وَحَشْرِهِ. The person who guards and protects the prayer, its performance on time and properly and so on, then it will be a light in his heart and a light in his face and a light in his grave and at the place of gathering. The place of gathering on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. He said, also, it will be for him a means of salvation, being saved from punishment on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And he will be gathered, he will be gathered together in the company of those whom Allah's favor is upon them, from amongst the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. And what a wonderful, company to be in. And whoever doesn't guard or protect the prayers, it will not be for him a light, nor a proof, nor a means of salvation on the day of resurrection. And this one who does not guard the prayer will be gathered together, will be resurrected with Fir'aun and Haman and Qarun and Ubay ibn Khalaf. Here the Shaykh, he quotes from Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, from his book As-Salah. A long quotation from amongst the things that he said concerning the salah. There is coming a hadith, la hadza fil Islam liman taraka as-salah. Yani there is no portion of Islam for the one who has abandoned the salah. وقد كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يكتب إلى الآفاق. And it has, yani it was a fact that Umar ibn al-Khattab, he wrote to the lands, yani the distant lands where the Muslims were, and he made this statement in what he wrote to those people who were under his authority. Inna hamma umurikum indi as-salat. Yani indeed the most important of your affairs with me, the most important of all affairs. Yani is not the collecting of the finance, but rather it is the salat. This is the most important of all affairs. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa of the Muslims. So whoever guards their prayer, they have guarded their deen. And whoever neglects it, then this one will be even more neglectful of everything that's besides it. Yani if a person neglects salat, khalas, what do you expect them to do with anything else? And this is the most important thing. And then he said, and there is no portion in Islam for the one who has abandoned the salah. This is the statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Imam Ahmed goes on to say, he said also, فَكُلُّ مُسْتَخِفٍ بِالصَّلَاةِ مُسْتَحِينٍ بِهَا فَهُوَ مُسْتَخِفٌ بِالْإِسْلَامِ مُسْتَحِينٌ بِهِ. Yani that every person who thinks lightly of the salah, yani who is indifferent about the salat, then this person also will think lightly. He will be one who thinks lightly about Islam and will be indifferent with Islam as well. Indeed, this is a fact. Indeed, he said, حَظُّهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ عَلَى قَدْرَ حَظِّهِمْ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. Yani your portion, their portion of Islam, yani whatever portion of Islam they have, it will be in accordance with the portion, their portion of the salat. Yani how much care and attention they give to the salah, this will determine what amount of Islam they have. And their raghba, yani their desire for Islam will be in accordance with their raghba, their desire in the salat. Yani the more a person is concerned about the salat, the more they will be concerned about their Islam. فَعْرِفْ نَفْسَكَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ وَحْذَرْ أَن تَلْقَ اللَّهِ وَلَا قَدْرَ لِلْإِسْلَامِ عِنْدَكَ. So know yourself, O servant of Allah, O worshipper of Allah, know yourself, look at yourself, examine your own self. And before I go on, I want to interject here and say, because I forgot last week, that every one of us needs to examine ourselves. And this is also from the sayings of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of yourselves before account is taken of you. Yani which one of us has found that I have been given more care to my salat this week than I did the previous week, or today than I did yesterday? This is something that we have to ask ourselves, because if we don't see any improvement in our salat, then this is a good indication or a bad indication of yani our situation in our Islam and our relationship with our Rabb, Rabbil Alameen. So know yourself, O worshipper of Allah, and be warned against meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Yawm al-Qiyamah without having any portion of Islam with you. For indeed, a person's portion of Islam, yani that they have in their heart, will be like yani the amount or the estimate or the way that they yani look at the salat, yani the way the salat is viewed in their heart. Yani a person's yani value or worth of the salat, yani will be an indication of how they value Islam in their heart. And it has come to us in the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, as-salatu amududdin. As-salatu amududdin. This is how Imam Ahmed yani mentions this statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that as-salat is the amud, is the post or the prop of the deen, that holds up the deen. And this statement, yani the author, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said it's from the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, and the wording of the hadith is, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ وَعُمُودِهِ وَذُرْوَتِهِ وَذُرْوَةِ سَنَامِهِ. Yani shall I not inform you about the head, yani the head, the pinnacle of the matter, and the amud, its pillar, yani that holds it up, and its highest point, yani ذُرْوَةِ سَنَامِي, the highest point of it. And he said that the head of the matter, it is Islam, and the amud wa amuduhu as-salat. Yani this is what Imam Ahmad is referring to when he said as-salatu amudu ad-din. Yani wa amuduhu, yani amud al-Islam, it is as-salat. Amuduhu as-salat. Or as Imam Ahmad narrated the hadith, as-salatu amudu ad-din. And it is the pillar, yani the thing that props up, that holds up the deen. Here Al-Imam Ahmad says, do you not know that the fustat, yani the big tent, yani al-khayma, yani the tent, a big tent, if it's amud, the pillar that's holding it up, if it falls, then the tent will fall. And if the pillar, the amud, falls, the tent will fall. And you will not benefit from the rope that is tied to hold the tent up, nor the pegs or pins that are the stakes that are planted into the ground, tied to ropes holding the tent. None of this will be of any benefit if the amud, the pillar in the center of the tent, if it falls, the whole tent is going to fall. But if the pillar is standing up, the pillar of the tent, if it is standing up, then you will benefit from the ropes of the tent and the pegs or stakes that help to hold the tent up. وَكَذَلِكَ الصَّلَاةُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. And this is the likeness of salat in reference to Islam. Yani if the salat is yani guarded and protected and preserved and performed properly, then the Islam will be held up. But if the salat falls, then the Islam of a person falls like the tent when the pillar that holds it up falls. فَانْظُرُوا رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهِ وَعَقِلُوا وَأَحْكِمُوا الصَّلَاةِ واتقوا الله فيها وتعاونوا عليها وتناصحوا فيها بالتعليم من بعدكم لبعض والتذكير من بعدكم لبعض من الغفلة والنسيان. And here the Shaykh says, so look, يعني consider, be careful, may Allah have mercy upon you. وعقلوا, understand, يعني use your intelligence, your intellect to understand. And then, yani, perform the salat with precision, with perfection, yani, with excellence. Perform the salat not lazily, haphazardly, with negligence, rather with precision, with perfection, with excellence. أحكموا الصلاة. And observe taqwa of Allah in it. Yani, when a person is performing salat, they should observe taqwa of Allah. They should realize that they are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they should observe His commands and avoid His prohibitions. They should not be doing things that are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they're in the prayer. Rather, they should be observing taqwa of Allah, realizing that they're standing before the Rabbul Alameen, concentrating on every word that they are saying and every position that they are in the prayer, realizing the utmost importance of this standing in the salat, in this dunya, as and how it will reflect on our standing before Allah on Yawmul Qiyamah, as we'll discuss next week. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَيْهَا, and cooperate with one another in reference to this salat. Cooperate with one another. Help one another. Assist one another. وَتَنَاصَحُوا, advise one another in reference to the salat. بِالتَعْلِيم, yani some of you teaching one another. And تَذْكِير, some of you reminding one another and awakening one another from al-ghafla and nisyan, from heedlessness and forgetfulness. Some people are heedless. They are not paying attention. So wake up one another and remind one another and teach one another so that we don't fall into heedlessness, unmindfulness and forgetfulness of the importance of salat. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded you to cooperate with one another in birr and taqwa, in piety and righteousness. And indeed the salat is the best of all acts of righteousness. And it has come in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Yani this hadith is reported by Abu Ya'la in his Musnad from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, أَوَّلُ مَا تَفْقِدُونَ مِن دِينِكُمْ الْأَمَانَةُ. Yani the first thing that you will lose from your deen is al-amana. Yani trustful, being trustful, yani fulfilling trust. Naam, this is the first thing that will be lost from your deen. Yani, do you find a man or a woman today who you can trust, that fulfills amana when they are trusted with something? You can hardly find it. You can hardly find it. أول ما تفقدون من دينكم الأمانة وآخر ما تفقدون منه الصلاة. And the last thing that you will lose from Islam, from your deen, it will be the salah. That will be the last thing. When that's gone, khalas, there's nothing left. And he ended by saying, وَلَا يُصَلِّيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ. Yani, and indeed, there will be people who will be praying who don't have any yani portion in the of the reward of Allah in the next life. In some of the narrations, actually said, لَا إِمَانَ لَهُمْ. In some of the narrations said, لَا دِينَ لَهُمْ. That yani, some people will be performing salat in the end of time, and they will not have any iman. They will not have any deen. Yani, they will just be going through the motions. Our salat, it is the last, the end of our deen. And it is the first thing that a person will be questioned tomorrow, yani on Yawmul Qiyamah, from their deeds on the day of resurrection. So there's nothing, after the salat has gone away, there's nothing left of Islam, nor anything left of deen. When the salat is gone, there's nothing left. If the salat has become the last thing that will leave from al-Islam, then everything, yani, يَذْهُبُ آخِرُهُ, yani when the end of it is gone, فَقَدْ ذَهَبَ جَمِيعُهُ, yani when the end of something is gone, the last of it is gone, then the whole of it is gone. There's nothing left. And this is in reference to what? In reference to our deen. And if a person abandons salah, then there's nothing left. There's no discussion. This is the end of the quote from Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, from his book, As-Salah. After this, the Shaykh, he says, لا يختلف المسلمون أن ترك الصلاة المفروضة عمدا من أعظم الذنوب وأكبر الكبائر. وأن إثم تارك الصلاة عند الله أعظم من إثم قتل النفس وأخذ الأموال وأعظم من إثم الزنا والسرقة وشرب الخمر وأنه متعرض لعقوبة الله عز وجل وسخطه وخزيه في الدنيا والآخرة. That there is no difference amongst the Muslims concerning the fact that the abandonment of the obligatory prayer amdan, intentionally, person abandons the obligatory prayer intentionally, there's no difference that indeed this is from a'zam al-dhunub wa akbar al-kabair. It is from the greatest of all sins and the biggest of all the major sins, the kabair. And that the sin of the person who abandons salat with Allah in front of Allah, the sin of the person who abandons salat is greater than the sin of killing a human being. قتل النفس. It is greater than أخذ الأموال, taking people's property. It is greater than the sin of zina, yani illegal sexual relations, fornication or adultery. And greater than sariqa, stealing. And greater than shurb al-khamr, drinking alcohol. And indeed, the one who abandons salat is subject to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his anger and being disgraced in this world and in the next life. And I want to interject here, in case the question may come, we can answer it now. How can the abandonment of salat be greater than drinking alcohol and committing fornication and killing someone and taking people's property? Because abandonment of salat is kufr. And we don't believe that a person who kills somebody has fallen into kufr. We believe this is a major sin, a serious matter, and a person will be called to account on Yawmul Qiyamah. But we don't say that a person who killed somebody, he left Islam. We don't say that a person who committed zina, they left Islam. We don't say that a person who drank alcohol left Islam. But the person who abandoned salat amdan, intentionally, they have gone out of Islam. The Shaykh, he says, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Yani concerning now those people, yani from amongst the scholars, there are differences of opinion about the abandonment of salat. He says, indeed, the scholars اختلفوا في قتله. They differed about the person who abandoned salat, should he be killed? And they differed about kayfiyat qatli, how he should be killed. Yani those who said he should be killed, then they differed about how he should be killed. وَفِي كُفْرِهِ. And even they differed, yani some of the scholars differed about whether or not it is kufr. Yani primarily they differed, is it yani the major kufr or the lesser kufr? Yani is it kufr an i'tiqad that takes a person yani out of the circle of Islam, or is it kufr in actions? Yani kufr amali. There's difference of opinion about this, the Shaykh says. However, the sayings of the scholars concerning these matters, and what has been mentioned concerning its evidence, and what they use as, what each, yani, the people of each view or position, what they use as a proof, has been mentioned in detail in the books of the people of knowledge that are well known. Yani, the books that are well known, all of this has been mentioned, but this is not the place for the clarification or the discussion, the complete detail discussion of this issue. Yani whether or not abandonment of salah is kufr, or whether or not yani the person who does so should be killed, or how they should be killed, this is not the place for that. Except that we want to say, من قال من أهل العلم بكفر تارك الصلاة قد احتج لذلك بأدلة قوية من كتاب الله تعالى وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani what we do want to say here is that those people of knowledge who hold the view that the one who abandons salat is a kafir, that he has fallen into kufr, then they have used as proof many strong evidences from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the least that we can say concerning this is that the evidences, yani, that they use to declare this person to be a kafir, at least it will arouse or awaken in the heart of the Muslim a tremendous fear of being negligent or falling short in this obligation of salat, or wasting or squandering or neglecting their salat. And these evidences also will move or motivate in the Muslim, in the heart of a Muslim, it will move them to have love for preserving the salat. Al-muhafadha عليها, يعني protecting and preserving and guarding, giving care to the salat. والعناية بها وأدائها في وقتها, يعني giving good, careful attention and performing the salat in its time as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني in its proper time as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has يعني commanded us. These evidences should certainly, يعني it should certainly arouse in the heart of a Muslim a great care and concern about their fulfillment of the obligation of salat in all aspects. Yani performing it on time, performing it properly with sincere intentions, with khushu', with presence of heart and mind, and so on. So the Shaykh now he, yani, lists a number of evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah and from the Sahaba. Naam. First he says from Suratul Mudathir. Anybody know for sure which ayat it is? I mean which surah it is? Mudathir? Is it like 73 or 4? Huh? 74. Tayyib. Jazakallah khair. Surah 74, ayats 38 through 47. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. Yani that every soul will be put in pledge, yani will be called to account by what it has earned. Yani what you do in this world, your nafs, your soul, yourself, yani will be held accountable for it. إلا أصحاب اليمين, except the companions of the right hand, yani the people who will be in Jannah. في جنات يتساءلون, they will be in gardens asking one another, عن المجرمين, about the criminals. Yani أصحاب اليمين, the people of Jannah, they will be in Jannah asking one another about the مجرمين. ما سلقكم في صقر, yani they will be saying, what, yani the people who will be in the hellfire, what has caused you to end up in the saqr, yani in the hellfire. And the people in the hellfire will say, قالوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. يعني the first thing that they said of the things that cause them to be in hellfire, the number one thing, the most important factor, is that we were not of those who used to perform salah. So what about a person now who's not performing salah? Yani when do they read the Quran? Have they ever seen this ayah in the Quran? Have they ever heard it? Maybe we should recite it to people. Yani what caused you to be in the hellfire? قالوا لم نقو من المصلين. We were not of those who used to pray. This is why we're in the hellfire. And if a person has any iman, that has to affect them. There are plenty of Muslims who are not performing salat. There's no shortage of them. They're all around us. We have to memorize some of these ayats, because sometimes you have to bring a person an ayah from the Quran, a hadith, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps it might spark something of iman in their heart and make them, yani, stand up and rectify their situation. What has caused you to be in the hellfire? قالوا لم نكن لم نكو من المصلين. We were not of those who used to perform the salah. ولم نكو نطعم المسكين. And we were not of those who used to feed the poor. وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين. And we used to be with those who used to, yani, delve deeply into futile, false, yani, speech, vain talk that is wasteless, they have no benefit. وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين. And we used to deny the day of accounting, yani, the day of judgment. حتى أتانا اليقين. Until that the yaqeen came to us, yani until death overcame us while we're in that condition, khalas, the matter is finished. Here the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about the person who abandons salat, that he is from the mujrimeen, as-salikeen fi saqr, yani he is from the criminals who will be, yani, going to the hell fire. The second evidence that he mentions from the Quran, yani from Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 59th Ayat. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They left behind, yani there were some who came behind them, yani the righteous people had posterity, yani offspring that came behind them, who abandoned the salat. أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ. They abandoned the salat. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. And they followed their desires. They didn't have time for salat. They were too busy watching television, going to the movies, getting intoxicated, gambling, whatever, whatever. Naam. So they followed their desires. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. And soon, yani, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, they will be thrown into the hellfire. Yani the Shaykh, he says here that Abdul Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that غَيَّ, that it means here a river in Jahannam that has a filthy taste and has a very, yani, ba'id al-qahr, yani, a very deep bottom. فَيَا عِذَمْ مُصِيبَةُ مَنْ لَقِيَهُ وَيَا شِدَّةَ حَصْرَةِ مَنْ دَخَلَهُ. Yani, oh, how tremendous will be the calamity of the one who meets it, yani, this place in the hellfire. And oh, how severe will be the regret of the one who enters it. But it's too late then. The third evidence the Shaykh mentions from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 11th Ayat, فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. That if they repent, and they establish the prayer, and they give the zakat, then they are your brothers in deen. So here, yani, the condition that has been connected to them, yani, being or not being brothers in deen, is their performance of the salah. Yani, the person who doesn't pray is not your brother in Islam or your sister in Islam. So this indicates if they do not perform the salat, then they are not brothers to the believers. They are not brothers, yani, they are not your Muslim brothers in deen. The fourth evidence the Shaykh mentions from Surah At-Sajdah, 32nd Surah, 15th Ayat, 32:15. إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَصَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَقْبِرُونَ. That indeed, only those are believers who, when our ayat are mentioned to them, they fall down prostrate and they declare the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani praising Him. They fall down prostrate in sajda and they declare the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Him. And they are not, yani, too proud to perform salah, to bow and prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Indeed, those who believe in our ayat are those who, when they are mentioned to them, these are those who believe. إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَصَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Yani, these and only these are really believers in our ayat. Yani, when our ayat are mentioned to them, they fall down prostrate, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying, declaring His perfection, and they are not too proud. As for those who do not perform salat, then these are not believers in the ayat of Allah. The fifth evidence the Shaykh mentions, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Mursalat, Surah Mursalat, 77th surah. The Shaykh, he quotes here first from 48 and 49, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. And when it is said to them, bow, yani perform ruku, they do not perform ruku. وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So woe, yani, or a place, yani, in the hellfire on that day for those who deny, any who refuse to bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this after the saying, yani before it, in ayah 46, كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ. So eat and enjoy yourselves for a little while. Indeed, you are mujrimun. Who are the mujrimun? This is an indication, the Shaykh says, that the one who abandoned the salat is a mujrim. Because after this saying, eat and enjoy yourselves for a little while, indeed you are mujrimun, comes the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when it is said to them, bow, yani, in salat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not bow. So the people who abandon salat, this is an indication that they are criminals, and that they are deserving of a severe, a great, tremendous, terrible punishment when they meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on yawm al-qiyamah. The sixth evidence the Shaykh mentions, after these ayahs in the Quran, he mentions from the sunnah, this is a hadith that we've taken previously already, so we just mentioned it in passing. That is, was reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih from Jabir radiallahu anhuma, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ السَّلَاةِ. Yani, that which is between a man and shirk and kufr is the abandonment of salat. And then he mentions the second hadith, which we also mentioned previously, reported by Imam Ahmad and others from the Sunan with Isnad the Sahih, from Abdullah ibn Burayda, from his father, Burayda. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakulun al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat faman tarakaha faqad kafara. Yani, the covenant between us and them is the salat. Whoever abandons it, he has indeed fallen into kufr. And then he mentions that which is reported by Imam Ahmad, and we also mentioned this last week by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Hibban and Tabarani with an isnad that's jayid from the hadith of Abdul ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the salat was mentioned one day. And he mentioned the salat one day, and he said, whoever guards and preserves the salat, then it will be for him a light and a proof and a means of salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And whoever doesn't guard it, then it will not be a light for him, or a proof, or a salvation, or a means of salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will be raised up with Qarun and Fir'aun and Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf, the leaders of kufr and falsehood. And here, the Shaykh says there's a point here, yani an original, yani beautiful point here, yani that is related to this narration, that the one, yani he said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that this person who doesn't preserve the salat will be raised up with Qarun and Fir'aun and Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf. He said the one who doesn't guard the salat, either because he is occupied, he is busied and occupied with his wealth, or with his, yani, sovereignty, or his kingdom, or his riyasa, his leadership, or his tijara, his trade and business. Yani, either a person who doesn't preserve the salat is because he's occupied with his wealth, or occupied with his kingdom, or his leadership, or his trade and business. So whoever is occupied from the salat, yani is occupied from performing the salat by his wealth, then he will be raised up with Qarun. And whoever is occupied with his kingdom, then he will be raised up with Fir'aun. And whoever is occupied with his riyasa, his leadership, then he will be raised up with Haman. And whoever is occupied, yani from the salat, prevented from performing the salat due to his trade and business and his wealth, then he will be raised up with Ubay ibn Khalaf. And after this, the Shaykh mentions, yani the ninth evidence was reported by Imam Ahmed. And this hadith we haven't mentioned before, on the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من ترك صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا فقد برئت منه ذمة الله. من ترك صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا. And whoever abandons an obligatory prayer, صلاة مكتوبة, one obligatory prayer, mutaammidan, intentionally, knowingly, willingly, faqad buriyat minhu dhimmatullah, then the protection, the security of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani he has been freed from it. He is not under the protection or the security, yani of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he has abandoned what? Man taraka salatan maktubatan, one obligatory prayer. And this hadith is a sahih hadith. Shaykh al-Albani mentions it in Sahih al-Targhib. And there is some difference of opinion concerning this hadith. There are some scholars who consider it to be weak or to have some weakness. And yani, from amongst those who question the authenticity of this hadith is Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in his book dealing with this subject, the Hukm of Tariq al-Salat, yani the ruling concerning the person of abandoning Salat. And yani, the Shaykh has some kalam concerning this hadith. But in any case, as far as we can say, and as far as we can see, the hadith is definitely sahih. And Allah knows best. The tenth evidence the Shaykh mentions, as we come to near the end of the evidences, that is reported by Al-Bukhari in his sahih from Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think this hadith we mentioned previously. Man salla salatana wa istaqbala qiblatana wa akala dhabihatana. فذلك المسلم الذي له ذمة الله وذمة رسوله فلا تخفر الله في ذمته. من صلى صلاتنا, whoever performs our salat, the salat of the Muslims of Islam, and faces our qibla, yani that is the direction of Mecca, وَأَكَلَ ذَبِيحَتَنَا, and eats our slaughtered animals, then this is the Muslim who has the protection, the ذمة الله, the protection of Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So do not violate the ذمة, the protection, the security of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by abandoning salah. The 11th evidence the Shaykh mentions, and we didn't mention this hadith, and there are a lot of hadiths similar to this, and we don't have time to mention all of them. The Shaykh mentions one of them, reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and Imam Malik in the Muwatta, and Nasai in the Sunan, with the Isnad that is sahih, from Mihjan al-Aslami, radiyallahu anhu, that he was, يعني أنه كان في مجلس مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأذن بالصلاة فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم رجع ومحصن في مجلسه. يعني that he was sitting in a sitting with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the adhan was made for the salah, was announced for the salah, and the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم got up, يعني he went to the prayer and prayed, and when he came, Mihjan, he was still sitting in his place of sitting. يعني he didn't get up, he didn't go to the salah. فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما منعك أن تصلي, يعني what is it that has prevented you from performing the salat, ألست برجل مسلم, are you not a Muslim, يعني a person who doesn't perform salat not a Muslim, يعني what has prevented you, there must be some excuse for you, ألست برجل مسلم, are you not a Muslim. So he said رضي الله عنه بلى, indeed, I am a Muslim. وَلَكِنِّي كُنْتُ قَدْ صَلَّيْتُ فِي أَهْلِي. But I have already performed the prayer with my family. But I have what? Already performed the prayer with my family. And we have heard this in real life. يعني, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in our hearts. And indeed, he was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he didn't mean any harm. Indeed, he understood that he had already performed the salah, it was no need to repeat it. But the Prophet ﷺ, who is the guide and the best of guides, قَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِذَا جِئْتَ فَصَلِّ مَا النَّاسِ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ قَدْ صَلَّيْتَ. Yani if you come at the time when the prayer is going to be performed, فَصَلِّ مَا النَّاسِ, then pray with the people in the jama'ah, in congregation, وَإِنْ كُنْتَ قَدْ صَلَّيْتَ, even if you had already performed the prayer. So a person already performed the prayer, if he comes to a place where the Muslims are performing prayer in congregation, then pray with the people in the congregation. And after this, the Shaykh mentions from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ the saying that came from, and he said the sayings that came from the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in concerning this meaning. There are many of them. From amongst them is that which is reported from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu that he said, لا حظ في الإسلام لمن ترك الصلاة. There is no portion of Islam for the one who abandoned the salat. And he also said radiallahu anhu, لا إسلام لمن ترك الصلاة. There is no Islam for the one who has abandoned the salat. La islama. This is la and nafiya lil jints. La and nafiya lil jints. Means there's absolutely, just like you say la ilaha, there's absolutely nothing that deserves the worship illallah. He said la islama. There's absolutely no Islam liman taraka salat, for the one who abandoned salat. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said this in the presence of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nobody, yani, rejected what he said. No one of them said a word against what he said. Rather, there were others besides him, besides Umar, who said the same thing or similar to what he said. From amongst them who said the same thing like this or similar to it, that there's no portion of Islam for the one who abandoned Salat, and there's no Islam for the one who has abandoned Salat. From amongst the others who said this is also Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhum, wa ghayrihim radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Yani Mu'adh ibn Jabal, if we know who he is, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, one of the 10 people promised paradise, and Abu Huraira, the greatest narrator of hadith from amongst the companions of the Prophet, and Abdul Mas'ud, one of the greatest scholars from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they held the same view as Umar ibn al-Khattab, that there's no Islam for the one who abandons the salat. And finally, yani, we covered this last week, so we just mentioned it in brief. That was reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih from Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, whoever will be pleased to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim, then guard and protect these prayers from the place from which they are being called to, that is in the masajid. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for your Prophet the ways of guidance, and these prayers in the masjid are from the ways of guidance. And if any one of you were to pray in your homes as this mutakhallif, this yani backward, retarded person who remains behind in their house, who remains behind, mutakhallif, he remains behind his house to pray, yani with the women, instead of going to the masjid with the men. If you were to pray in your homes like this one does, you would have abandoned the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you abandoned the sunnah, you would have indeed gone astray. There is no man who purifies himself and does it well, and then goes to one of these masjids, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record for him for every step a good deed and raise him up, yani, a degree, and remove from him a sin for every step that he takes. And indeed, yani, he said in the end of the hadith, I have seen us, yani, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one of us remained behind from the salat in the masjid except a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known. And indeed, a man would be brought to the masjid being carried between two people until he would be placed in a line, yani, for the prayer and congregation in the masjid. The Shaykh, he says, this is the question. So if this is the fare of the one who does not attend the salat with the jama'ah, that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ considered him to be a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known, this is the affair of the one who doesn't attend the prayer in congregation. So what about the one who doesn't pray at all? Yani, these are people who were praying, but they didn't come to the congregation. The only one who did this was a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known. They were praying, maybe, Allahu A'lam, but they didn't pray in the congregation. They didn't accuse them of not praying. They accused them of not attending the congregation. What about the people who don't pray at all? And we ask Allah, yani, to protect us and to preserve us and to guard us and give us safety from being in this condition. Indeed, the scale of the salat in Islam is azim. Yani, the weight of Islam, of the salat in Islam, is azim, and its status or position is very high. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory upon His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any intermediary, yani directly commanding him, commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from above the seven heavens at the time when he performed the yani ascension to the seven heavens, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has, and there are others, the Shaykh says that there are other evidences, other textual proofs, any other than what has been mentioned up until now, that indicate its excellence and its greatness and its worth and its value and the severity of the punishment of the one who abandons it. And in spite of this, some people think lightly. They don't give weight to the salat. It doesn't have any value with them. Many of the people. And from amongst them, he said, there are three classes of people. From amongst them is the one who la yura fil masjid abadan fi jami' salawat. Yani the one who is never seen in the masjid, ever. For all of the prayers, he's absent. This is one person. Never been seen in the masjid. The people in the masjid don't know what he looks like. And he lives beside the masjid. And he lives near to the masjid. How many people live near to this masjid? We never saw them in the masjid. We never saw them in the masjid. Some of them, their store is next to the masjid. This masjid and other masjids. And we never saw them in the masjid. Wallahi, that's a fact. That's a fact. And they live next to the masjid, or they work next to the masjid. And they go out of their house for their worldly affairs. لِعَمَالِهَا الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ Goes out to work. Now, he leaves his house for that. Not that he can't get out of the house. Can't get out of the house to go to the masjid for salat. But for work, now he can get out of the house. He can get up early in the morning. He can do whatever he has to do for work. Yani dunya. But he doesn't come out of his house to perform the salat in the masjid. And he hears the call to the prayer 5 times a day, in the day and the night. And he says, سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا We hear and we disobey. And what is amazing in this affair is that this man, perhaps, there may live with him in his house other men from his family who are performing the prayer with the Muslims, and they don't rebuke him. This is ajeeb. They are going to the masjid and performing the prayer, and they don't say a word to him. They don't say anything to him. But they leave him in the house as though he has not done anything to be rebuked. And they eat with him, and they drink with him, and they sit with him. So where is the ghayra upon this deen? Yani where is the sense of yani of jealousy, of love and concern about the deen? How people can act like this? And where is the commanding the good and forbidding the wrong? Except the one who may do this as a means of advising or rectifying. Yani except those who advise and rectify. This is the first person, the one who has never seen in the masjid for any of the prayers at all. The second of them is the one who takes lightly, yani who doesn't give a lot of care, who gives little importance to the shurut of the salat and the arkan of the salat and the wajibat of the salat. So he doesn't perform them yani in the way that they are supposed to be performed. And he performs the salat, but he doesn't give care to the preconditions of the salat or the essential pillars of the salat or the obligatory duties of the salat. And we have to end quickly. Time is out. Taib. And the third of these people is the one who يَتَحَاوَنُ بِالصَّلَاةِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعِ Yani who? Yani is lackadaisical. Yani is careless in the performance with the jama'ah. And this is from the signs of hypocrisy. Meaning that he might pray in jama'ah sometimes, but he's careless about it. He doesn't give a great importance to it. He prays sometimes in jama'ah, and sometimes he does not. And what is obligatory upon us is to guard these lofty acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and these great acts of worship, which are from the greatest of the pillars of Islam after the shahadatain. Yani this great act of worship, this yani great act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is from the greatest of the pillars of Islam after the shahadatain. Yani the two testimonies of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And what is expected of us is to yani be warned against yani with a serious warning against yani the way of the mujrimeen, yani the path of the criminals, those who, if it is said to them, bow down and with those who bow down. Bow down, and they do not bow down. The Shaykh says in closing, this, yani being said, the servant must be warned against thinking of oneself as great and being amazed with one's condition and one's actions and being yani neglectful or unmindful of the greatness of our master and our mawla, our patron, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the greatness of the symbols that represent the Islam. That a person must what? Be careful, be warned against thinking of oneself as great and being amazed and pleased with one's condition and deeds such that it causes you to be unmindful, to be neglectful of observing, acknowledging, yani, giving, attaching importance to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of the symbols of Islam. And the greatest of them after the shahadatain is salat, which would, if a person does so, then they will be from amongst the losers. And be careful of considering yourself great. Be careful of looking at your deeds and feeling like, mashaAllah, look at my deeds. Look at me, I'm doing this, that and the other. To the extent that you become unmindful and neglectful of the actual absolute greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which represents His deen. And he mentions the khutbah that is reported from Khalid ibn Umair al-Adawi. He said, خطبنا عتبة ابن غزوان رضي الله عنه, yani one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we don't have time to read his biography, but whoever reads it, then they will know, yani may Allah be pleased with him. عتبة ibn غزوان, he gave us a khutbah and he praised Allah and extolled Allah, and then he said after this, فَإِنَّ الدُّنْيَا قَدْ آذَنَتْ بِسُرْمٍ وَوَلَّتْ حَذَّاءً. يعني, he says that indeed the dunya, it has announced its ending, its cessation, that it is finished and it has turned away quickly. This is the companion of the Prophet ﷺ. Dunya is finished. It has announced it's over. It's finished. وَلَمْ يَبْقَى مِنْهَا إِلَّا صُبَابَةٌ كالصبابة الإناء يتصابها صاحبها. And nothing remains of it except a few remnants, a few drops that remain at the bottom of the vessel when a person is almost finished drinking it, and they gather those few drops together to finish it, to take the last drinks of it. That's what remains of the dunya. وَإِنَّكُمْ مُنْتَقِلُونَ مِنْهَا إِلَى دَارٍ لَا زَوَالَ لَهَا فَانْتَقِلُوا بِخَيْرِ مَا بِحَضْرَتِكُمْ. And this is yani tremendous advice from this companion of the Prophet ﷺ. Indeed, you all of you, those who are addressing in us, are going on to a dar, a land, a place that has no end to it. It is an eternal place. So go to it, carry to it with you the best of what you have with you. Be careful what you are carrying with you. Look at what you are sending ahead for yourself. For indeed it has been mentioned to us that a stone, if it were thrown off the edge of the hellfire, it would descend in it for 70 years and not reach the bottom. وَوَاللَّهِ لَتُمْلَأَنَّ أَفَعْجِبْتُمْ. And I swear by Allah, that hellfire, which its bottom would not be reached by a stone which was thrown over the edge, it didn't reach the bottom for 70 years. And I swear by Allah, the hellfire will be filled. It will be filled. Naam. Are you not amazed at this? And this is the fear of the hellfire. A lot of people will be in the hellfire. And it has also been mentioned to us that between the hinges or the sides of a door from the doors of paradise is the distance of 40 years. One door from the doors of paradise, from one side of the door to the other side of the door, is the distance that a person would travel in 40 years. Naam. Subhanallah. وَلَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَيْهَا يَوْمٌ وَهُوَ قَضِيذٌ مِنْ ذِهَامٍ. But a day will come in which that door and the doors of paradise will be filled yani will be crammed, will be filled due to the crowdedness of the people trying to get through the doors of the paradise. A lot of people are going to be in paradise too. But a person has to look at what you are sending ahead for yourself. Be careful, you are going on. So take with you, carry with you the best of what you have. That is, al-amal as-salihah. And then he mentions, in the beginning, what was their condition? لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي سَابِعَ سَبَعَةٍ مَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I was the seventh of seven who were with the Prophet ﷺ. There were only seven people who had accepted Islam. He was one of them. Utbah radiallahu anhu. He was one of the first seven people who accepted Islam. He said, I saw myself, the seventh of seven who were with the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And we didn't have any food except the leaves of trees. That from eating it, it caused sores on the sides of our mouths. From the roughness of it. Because we had no normal food to eat. He said, I found a piece of cloth, a burda, and this was their condition, that I split it, and I took one half for myself, and I gave one half to Sa'ad ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, one of the 10 people promised paradise, Sa'ad ibn Malik. He was one of those seven. He said, I found a piece of cloth, and I split it in half. I shared it with my brother Sa'ad ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. And I used one as the izar to cover the lower half of my body. And Sa'ad, radiallahu anhu, yani Sa'ad ibn Malik, that is who? Ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu. He said, and he used the other half to make a izar, a lower garment for himself. فَمَا أَصْبَحَ الْيَوْمْ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا أَصْبَحَ أَمِيرًا عَلَى مِصْرٍ مِنَ الْأَمْصَارِ. And today, not one of us is here except that he has become the leader of one of the great cities. Yani those seven people who were with the Prophet ﷺ, who was in that condition, they didn't have food to eat except the leaves from trees. And they didn't have clothing to wear except that he found a piece of cloth and they would split it amongst themselves. He said, but today there's not one of us except that he has become the leader, the Amir, over one of the great cities. And then he said in closing, وَإِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي نَفْسِي عَظِيمًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهِ صَغِيرًا. And this is the key. Yani he said, but I seek refuge in Allah, that I, in my own self, consider myself to be azim, while with Allah I am insignificant. I seek refuge in Allah from considering myself to be great, when in reality I am insignificant, صغير, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek refuge in Allah from that, from imagining that I am more than what I am. For indeed, there was no nubuwah, there was no prophethood, except that it had been abrogated to the extent that in the end of it, it was just kingship. And you will come to know, and you will experience the umara, those who will be leaders after us, yani after those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, in this report from Utbah ibn Ghazwan radiallahu anhu, are many benefits. From amongst them is encouragement and warning, and admonishment and reminder, and the deepness of the hellfire and the spaciousness of the Jannah and other than that. Let it be a warning to us and an admonition and a reminder. Many people will be in the hellfire. And as well, don't be hopeless. Many people will be in the Jannah. But we're in this world for a short period of time, and we are going on to a dar that doesn't have any end, either in the hellfire or in the paradise. Be careful and look to what you carry on with you. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And the Shaykh says, we ask Allah by His beautiful names and lofty characteristics to protect all of us from being on the path of the mujrimeen, and that He grant us success in guarding and protecting the acts of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He aid and support us in guarding the salat. O Allah, make us of those who establish the salat. And O Allah, grant us success to give care to performing it in the way that You love and that You are pleased with. Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. And pardon us for a little bit of overtime. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.